Welcome to the happiest pod on earth on the Geek Therapy Network. This is Geek Therapy's Disney podcast.
Woo!
Woo! My name is Asa Cardona. With me is Laura Taylor.
Hey!
And finally, we get to talk about The Lion King.
We've been trying to talk about The Lion King for a while.
I know. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about the live action, not actually live action,
right,
actually CG.
The quotation marks, asterisks. It's got one live back shot, right?
That's somewhere. Yeah, I never found out which one it was. I couldn't pick it out from the theater, and I never looked up what it was. That would have been good to do. But this is very much a reaction and reflection, and then kind of comparing it to the original too. And I'm glad we're doing it this isn't opening weekend. This is a little farther removed. And so Lion King was my favorite Disney movie for years until Moana came out. And I believe the original Lion King is still your favorite movie.
Oh, absolutely. Still my favorite.
Like, favorite Disney movie or favorite movie?
Favorite Disney movie.
Okay.
Also, okay. Like, Frozen almost got up there. Like, it's pretty up there.
Okay.
But Lion King is it.
So yeah. Why? Why is the original?
So Lion King came out. It was the last Disney movie that I saw with my mom before she died. I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, the songs are great and catchy, and I love the story, and I love the way it's drawn. There's something about the aesthetic that I love. But it was the last Disney movie my mom saw. And also, I remember we used to go to Disneyland, like, every year, like, all the time. And the Lion King parade is the best Disney parade I have ever seen, other than the Electric Light Parade. Okay. But the best daytime parade that they've had. And my mom waited because she couldn't walk around. She was a little bit immobile. Her knee hurt and she couldn't do all the running around.
Okay.
She sat for 4 hours waiting on the parade route and saved us seats for the very first Lion King parade accessible to the public in the front so that I could sit there and watch it and be excited and have the people, like, right up there in my face when they were doing all their dance moves and choreography. And it was the coolest experience.
So long after the movie was that?
That was that summer.
Okay.
I think.
Gotcha.
And I mean, how old were you? I was. Was I 10?
10?
I think I was 10. 10, almost 11. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. It was, or maybe 11. Wait, came out. Yeah. I was 10 or 11. And it's hard to remember timelines of things, but I do remember. I think the parade came out after the movie. And I had all the Lion King stuff. Like, we went to Disneyland. I bought all the plush animals, right? And we stayed in the Disneyland hotel. And so I would leave my stuffed animals out on the bed. And housekeeping, like, I had made pillows into Pride Rock on the bed. And they made a scene for me every day with my stuffed animals on Pride Rock.
What?
Yeah. These are the things that I remember, and most of my memories like that surround Lion King rather than other movies. But like Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, Lion King, that's like the golden age. Like, that is like prime Disney time, at least for people our age.
Yeah. Man, okay. So then also, obviously, the movie has to do with the death of a parent.
Yes, and like, that
how much
is,
does that have to do with it?
That has a lot to do with it. I had not as much of a hard time with that scene the first time I saw it because my mom was still around.
Yeah.
I still really connect with that. They put in the different shows like World of Color where they they spray the water up on in California Adventure on the big lagoon they have, and like project stuff on there, and then there's lights and colors everywhere. Part of it, they have like this time in the music that's kind of sad and pulls on your strings. And I remember the Lion King stuff happening, and it would have the really fast like music when the wildebeest are coming down, and then the music when Simba's dealing with his dad's death. Yeah. And I remember at my bachelorette party, I started to cry, and my best friend like scratched my back a little bit. She's not super like emotive, but like she knew what was going on without even looking at my face.
Yeah.
And it was so sweet. And see, once again, all these like memories of specific things like that come up with Lion King for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool thing, and a very interesting experience to resonate so much and have this like connection with a movie even before I had that personal relatable experience with the movie. I had all the little action figures, all these little figurines on my shelf of like of Simba, and like I would play the story out. It was Lion King is just the best.
I remember having the soundtrack and the music inspired by the movie.
Mm-hmm. I had that too.
Yeah, and then the video game, mm-hmm. of course. What did that you play the video game on?
I had that one on Sega Genesis. I had Aladdin on Super Nintendo.
It's funny, I had Lion King on Game Gear. So that was a portable game for me. I don't know how mm-hmm. different it was from the Genesis version. I don't think I ever played any other version of it.
I think they're pretty similar. It's very basic controls, and most of the games then didn't really have too much difference between consoles.
I remember it looking pretty good, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I also had a Tiger electronic game of Lion King. It was very similar to the video game, where you had to, like, it was platforming, so it was moving, so you had to jump on the different rocks and then like avoid hyenas, and then at the end you had to battle, I guess it was Scar, I'm guessing. Those games weren't very long, you know, they had like one level or two levels.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I haven't even seen a Tiger game in a long time. But yeah, like in my own way, I also had, you know, as much Lion King stuff as I could.
I have the Lion King on VHS still. I have it on DVD. I have it on Blu-ray. Oof. I'm going to have it on Disney Plus.
Yes, of course.
Of course. I remember like one of my first dates with my now wife. We popped on the Lion King and sang the whole movie together. And we knew it was real then. Being goofy and singing the songs and dancing and yeah.
Yeah. I've sung Lion King at karaoke.
Ooh, so, see?
Yeah.
That's public. That's public display.
No, it's like almost. It's those karaoke rooms, the small
ones.
Yeah,
but still, you weren't in there by yourself, right?
I was not. I was not.
That would be kind of sad.
Yes.
Spend that much money on a private karaoke room for just yourself.
Just to sing The Lion King.
I know.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to one day karaokeing Lion King with you and your wife.
We'll be playing Destiny and just put the soundtrack on.
We could do that, great. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, man. Yeah. Man, the 90s. Ooh. Uh-huh. Yeah. So for me, I don't know. I don't have those type of experiences surrounding my experience of The Lion King. It was just the one that I enjoyed the most. It's the one with the music that I enjoyed the most.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I don't know, I guess it's different from anything I'd seen, you know, or other Disney movies. It was, I don't know, it's just I think it has a lot to do with how different the music was too.
Yeah.
Like,
well, Elton John.
Well, yeah, I guess, but like that opening song, like Circle of Life, is just so beautiful in that scene. Mm-hmm. And I remember every time I would buy a new like home theater system or a new TV, I would put that first scene on because it just sounded so good. You know, you've got that, you know, thump at the end when the title card comes up. It's chills. It's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's like it's a fun movie, and like I don't really relate to movies with that have loss or loss of a parent or loss of anybody. They're dealing with grief, but like I could feel for Simba, you know,
that moment where he's like, somebody.
Yeah.
Anybody that pulls, like, you see people be sad, like they get sad at the loss and everything, but just this like kid at trying to get anyone to just help.
yeah. And thinking about it, I think this is one of the first like revenge stories that I like. Revenge in the sense that like Simba is outcast and then he comes back and is able to get his revenge on Scar.
Even though he's not like actively seeking. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think like, I'm just thinking about that now because one of my favorite stories is The Count of Monte Cristo. And it's that idea that this person was like treated so badly, but then they came, they took their time, went real slow and then, you know, took care of business. It's the same way. And I don't know. There's just all the characters are so much fun. The music, I don't know. It's like there isn't just one thing, but as a kid and then growing up and until just a few years ago, no Disney film had hit me that way until Moana. So when Jungle Book came out, the first one, the second one's not out yet, but when the live action Jungle Book by Jon Favreau came out, I kept thinking, man, if they can do this, they can make a Lion King. Make the Lion King, and finally, it was Jon Favreau who did it. He made, again, not live action, completely CG, but very live action looking.
Realistic, hyper realistic.
Yeah. It finally came out. So,
I found out with the first shot. The first shot is the live action one.
Really?
Yes, with the sun rising.
Huh. Huh. Yeah. That makes sense. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, and that makes sense. That first scene in the first movie in the original is so dramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They probably couldn't get a sun to look that good.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, let's just use the real thing. That's interesting. That's really interesting. So what did you think of the 2019 version of The Lion King?
I loved it. Much like with Aladdin, I prefer the animated version. I'm sure I will watch it more often, but I would totally watch this one again. Like, it's updated. It's got different jokes. I loved the voice acting. If they had to have someone other than James Earl Jones voice Mufasa, I think I would have hated it.
Can't do it. Can't be done.
So I'm glad they got him to do it again. That version of Can You Feel the Love Tonight was amazing. I liked Scar was a little, it was weird. He was different. I liked some of the changes they made with the relationship between him and the hyenas. I thought it was interesting and made it different enough. I thought I loved it. Still like the animated one better. But I would totally watch this one again and probably again and again. maybe I'll for every like two times I watch the animated one with my future kids, I'll watch the live action one or something.
So before I react to the live action, now that you said that, The Lion King, like many of the Disney movies from the 90s, and perhaps more than, well, no, just about as much as some of the other ones, that movie continued, right? Because there was Lion King 1.5, Lion King 2.
And The Lion Guard.
And The Lion Guard, which is a TV show about Simba's son, Tayon is his name? No.
I didn't watch the show, so.
Oh, I was so certain of his name. It's funny because Now I'm gonna have to look it up. What is, you have the computer in front of you, right? What is Simba's son's name?
Okay. Simba's son's name.
Tion? What is it? It's not Tigon.
This is gonna be fun for you to edit. Kion.
See? There we go. Kion. So, like, my niece's favorite scene from The Lion King is at the end when they present Kion. mm-hmm. Because to her, The Lion King isn't the 90-minute movie from the 90s, or it's two direct-to-DVD or direct-to-video sequels. It's The Lion Guard, you know? And she knows mm-hmm. Simba as Kion's dad. So, you know, and The Lion Guard, I believe it's still going on. Man, I didn't research at all for this episode. But I'm pretty sure it's still going on. So it's very new. And there's also...
The musical? The Broadway musical?
Yeah, the Broadway musical. The musical on Broadway, which is the most amazing live action thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, it is so incredible to look at. And the part with the stampede... Seeing mm-hmm. that in the theater is mind-blowing. Like, it doesn't make sense.
You're like, how the hell did they do that?
No, like, you can see, because it's all very mechanical, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, thinking, like, how did you think of that? Like, how did you transform this scene that is so important so big and over the top into something that can be done on a stage?
And you see it, and... It's awe-inspiring. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. It is. That's got to be, without a doubt, the most expensive
set
prop thing in the show. But it is incredible. And I don't remember it very well. Like, I don't remember changes in the story and how it differs from the animated movie. I think it's, you know, for the most part, the beats are the same.
For the most part. There are some differences. There's more Rafiki. Rafiki has a song.
But I don't remember any huge changes. And that's kind of the way it is with the new live action, not mm-hmm. live action version. It's pretty much the same movie. It follows exactly the same thing. Just the jokes are a little different. Things happen a little differently. Nala takes, you know, more of a position at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, It's very much the same movie. I enjoyed it a lot the first time. The second time, I fell asleep, but that's because I saw it really early in the morning. I felt so stupid. I was like, oh, why'd I come see it this early? And I don't know if it was because I felt like I was watching the same movie a second time or because I felt like I was watching the same movie a 50th time.
Yeah.
Or 150th time. Yeah. Because, like, it looks so good that once you get over the shock of how good it looks, then it just like, then you just accept it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I like a lot of the changes. I want to talk this one over with you because there's one change that I've gone back and forth about and I'm not sure if I like.
Okay.
When I'm watching the movie and Scar starts his speech.
Right.
And it goes into Be Prepared, but he doesn't sing Be Prepared.
Yeah.
I was very excited because when I was watching it, I was thinking, ugh, like, I hate Be Prepared. I hated mm-hmm. that part as a kid. And I'm so glad that they took it out and they just left, like, the core of the message. And then we kept going. And then afterward, I just kept hearing Be Prepared in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And like, la, la, la. And like, I was like, oh, no, wait a minute. That sounds really fun. Damn. No, I miss Be Prepared.
Yeah. So
I'm torn. How do you feel about Be Prepared?
That scene was one of the ones where it was far enough from the original that it kind of threw me off. I still enjoyed the movie and I still thought the scene was important. Like I said, I liked some of the changes. They gave the hyenas more agency. Like, they weren't just henchmen. Like, Scar didn't come into this, like, already with a partnership with them, and he had to build that. And they, I loved that they had the hyenas in a matriarchal society, which is how it is in real life with hyenas. So I loved that they gave Shenzi, yeah. More agency, and like she was in charge and she was the boss, and all the other hyenas were scared of her, not Scar.
Yeah.
I liked that a lot.
I missed the silliness of the hyenas.
Me too.
Yeah.
There was some silliness with the two, but obviously not the three. And we didn't get Ed, the one with the tongue sticking out.
Yeah. I kept imagining what that would look like in the live action.
But they went all in on Timon and Pumbaa.
Completely, right? 100%.
All in. I love the change, because they weren't going to dress him up in dress him in drag and do the hula, right?
No, but this was
I loved it. I loved it.
This was amazing.
It's great.
The moment it starts, you're like, no.
They're not going to go through the hole. And then they just start running.
No, it is so good. Those jokes, like that, I think is, which I never thought I honestly still can't believe I feel this way, but I think I like this Timon and Pumbaa better than the animated version, just because, like, and how can I like this part of this movie better than maybe my favorite part or like my favorite characters of the original? I don't know, but there's something about just like the fourth wall, the acknowledgement,
Making fun of the previous Lion King.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. It's self-referential. You know, it's like...
Because he straight up said he farted.
Yep. It's like, you're not going to stop me? Nope. It's so good. The part where he's like, oh, it's local. Yeah, it's right here. That's Mame. That whole scene thing had me cracking up. It was... Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so good. It was so good. Man,
I love the addition of the other characters to the jungle scenes.
And
building a community of Hakuna Matata.
Yep. Yeah, no, there's just so much. It's so good. It is so good. It really was super challenging for them to have to, like, what do you do? Like, do you recreate it exactly? Do you change things?
They did it just enough to keep people that had seen the previous movie engaged.
Yeah.
And able to like leave it. Oh, it's the same. It's the same. It's the same. Oh, this is going to get them laughing. This is the same. It's the same. It's the same. It's the same. Here's this poignant moment. Like that's different. Yeah.
Yeah. There's almost like there's a mix of the two that I wish I could make, like, pull from both and then make my super Lion King movie. Like in I Just Can't Wait to Be King. That part in the animated version is so much more epic. Right?
Because it's all imagined and colorful and...
But like the animals are stacking one on top of each other, right?
Right.
And like, and it's super colorful. Yeah, it's like...
And then they fall on top of Zazu and, excuse me.
But it's like, I get that that's almost impossible to pull off if you want it to be look realistic.
Yeah.
But then it felt... It didn't feel...
A little underwhelming.
Yeah. That's just... That's a little bit right there.
So right now, so far, the songs are a little underwhelming to you. You missed your Be Prepared.
I'm conflicted on Be Prepared. I think I missed Be Prepared.
The song, but, not the whole scene, but just the song.
Well, like, I can imagine them making Be Prepared, and then the characters, like the hyenas, being completely out of character in that number because they're not... They're just too different. Like, I don't think the whole scene would have worked.
Yeah.
I don't know. He could have had, like, lion minions, too, you know? I always thought that was kind of... I love in The Lion Guard that it presents this idea that there's this group of lions who guard, you know, Pride Rock and the surrounding lands. And they go on patrol and they do all this stuff. And then in the movies, you never see any other lions.
I mean, in reality... Scar probably wouldn't have been in that pride any longer. Male lions don't like each other, even when they're siblings. And as they grow, if one is starting, they get territorial. especially over the females. So Scar, in real life, Scar probably would not have been there, and he would have gone off and started his own pride.
But nobody went with him.
But nobody went with him.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe that's why he decided, I need some hyenas, and I'm gonna take. Like, he is getting territorial. He's like, Mufasa's taking over this place, and Simba's gonna take over this place. I'm gonna get my ladies.
Yeah. I haven't seen enough of the Lion Guard to know how many other lions there are.
Yeah.
But it feels like there's a lot of lions.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know what I'm complaining about right now. But I enjoyed, like, oh, it's just incredible to look at. Like, I cannot believe that this movie exists. And I can't believe the way they made it either.
Yeah, it looks beautiful, and they look so realistic. Even with their mouths moving to talk, I liked that. I saw some complaints online about how the footage before the movie came out looked weird and like Uncanny Valley kind of weird. And I'm like, it looks good to me. I liked it.
Yeah, I didn't get that complaint. The only complaint that I'm going to go ahead and agree with that I've seen online...
Okay.
But I think it's a funny complaint, is that Can You Feel the Love Tonight happens during the day.
Yeah.
Completely during the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first time, I really didn't think about it. And then the second time, I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Because in the animated one, I mean, it starts during the day, but it's going into dusk and like evening, right?
Yeah. But yeah. It's tonight.
Yeah, it's tonight. So why is it during the day? Yeah. But Donald Glover and Beyonce.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I think the kids were even more amazing.
Yeah. But like in that version of Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's good. It's good. Whew, it was good. Yeah. Like I can't really complain, you know? Like I can compare. I'd have to watch it. So I've watched it twice. I fell asleep like a little bit the second time. Again, not because of the movie, really. I don't think it was because of the movie. I think it was more because of how early I went to see it.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to see it at the best theater possible. And I just happened to be traveling at the time. And there was a Dolby theater nearby.
One of those Dolby Deluxe ones.
Yeah. It's like, you know, Dolby, like I think that's what it's called. It's like a Dolby theater. It's supposed to be like, you know, super high resolution, high contrast ratio, Dolby Atmos, the whole thing, and like premium seating. It was supposed to, like, I looked around, it was supposedly the best possible way to watch the movie. And because it was opening weekend, there weren't many options. So the best ticket, the best seat I could find was like at a 9:30 showing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't function at 9:30.
So, I barely function at 9:30.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't usually wake up by then. So it was very, it was hard. It was hard. But yeah, and so before we wrap up, I definitely want to touch on. We've touched on some of them, but definitely the relatable themes in The Lion King, which I think is a big part of why the movie, like, so many people love the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just to start, I mean, we talked about the loss of a parent, right? Like, if you've lost a parent, that's definitely something, like, you've lost a parent. I imagine that scene hits you every time.
Every time. And less so the loss of Mufasa, and more so Simba's reaction to it. And I think think when I was a kid, the first time I saw it, it might have been the other way around. But now, like, watching Mufasa fall doesn't make me cry. The music building up and everything will start to, I'll be like, oh no, I know what's coming, because I know the entire instrumental thing by heart, so I know the whole movie musically. But once the dust settles and Simba sees him, and Simba's like, somebody help, dad, and when he like nuzzles up with him, that gets me every time.
Yeah.
And I think that's because I see myself in Simba in that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so easy to hate Scar immediately afterwards.
Exactly.
Like, look at what you did. It's your fault.
Mm-hmm. Which kids will on their own blame themselves.
Exactly. That guilt
had nothing to do with it.
Yep. That guilt is super relatable. You'll just
Simba could have been on the field hunting bugs or whatever, like pouncing on bugs, and his dad fell in the gorge and he would have felt like it was his fault.
Yeah. Yeah. What could I have done differently? Mm-hmm. You know, something that I could have done will weigh on you. And then just to have an adult say that and tell you, get out of here. It's your fault. I wouldn't show my face here again. And then to live with that for, now, I don't know, in lion years, how much time passes.
I would guess that if we're looking at it, he's probably like, when he comes back, like 20-ish maybe. As far as human,
exactly,
human time.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. He's like, he's not a teenager anymore. He's an adult. But he's not like a grown-ass adult, right?
No, he's not a grown-ass adult. Yeah. But he has to become one because he's got to be king.
Yeah. And that's where we relate to it, right? Where this idea of like this thing happened to you as a child and then you are coming back and facing it as an adult, like living all those years with that guilt and then...
And having to live up to your parents' legacy and your parents' expectations, or not even just your parents, because I don't think Mufasa put a lot of, like, he did put heavy expectations on Simba, but kind of like reasonable pressure and saying like, yeah, Simba, I've had to go through these things. I had to live up to my parents. I had to do these things. And I think you're going to be good at it. Like, not like, what the hell are you doing, Simba? You're slacking off in the woods. Like, it was, yeah.
Well, like, the pressure that's put on him is that one day you're going to be king.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, like, if you want to be a good king, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
And and that is a lot of pressure. I think this is where, as an adult, finally, the Lion King, like, I think this is why Moana took over for me. Like, it became, because in Moana, those same expectations are put on her.
Yeah.
But she rejects them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas,
and makes her own framework, right?
Exactly.
She's like, we're going to go be Voyagers now.
Yeah, yeah. And at least that's more relatable to me. And I think it's more relatable in general. But still, that pressure of feeling like, oh, this is what I have to do. The Lion King doesn't give... That's not true. I think the way the movie deals with it is that he rejected what he had to do because of his guilt, and so he didn't and went and did something else. But then when he was confronted with that same thing again, he was like,
he felt like he couldn't do it because of the guilt, and
yeah.
and that he couldn't be a good king because he already wasn't a good king. He feels like he killed his dad.
Yeah.
And then he has to live up to the fact that his dad is gone. It's his fault. But then he feels like his dad abandoned him. And then Rafiki does the whole, like, he's in you thing, which is a whole other thing. Like, knowing that the good qualities of your lost loved ones, your parents, are in you.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to like actualize that and realize that you don't have to be the same person. You can be your own person.
Yeah.
But also do what you have to do.
Yeah. I guess the story always establishes that he wants to be king, right? Like, I just can't wait to be king.
Right. And so, then it's not what he thinks it's going to be.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Hmm. Well, and in between, well, then finally, thanks to Scar, in every version, being an arrogant asshole,
yes.
He tells him that I killed Mufasa. Then you get the action at the end, and it all plays out, and it works out.
And I still hear the animated version, not the live action version, in my head. Here's my little secret. yeah,
Jeremy Irons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in between all of that, right? Like when Simba is off, you know, with Timon and Pumbaa, we have Hakuna Matata,
mm-hmm.
which is like such a, like, that's pop culture at this point.
Yeah.
You know?
People say that. Just, yeah. That's like part of the vernacular. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I just saw it in a, like, a news show yesterday.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a reference that comes up often. And I don't know, as a kid, I love that. And I think that over the years, I would go back and I would think back to that song in different moments of my life. And I don't know that the song is that deep. I don't know that the message is that deep.
It's not that deep. I think that in some ways you could take it as a very unhealthy thing. Like, Hakuna Matata, no worries. Don't worry about anything. Forget life. Like, the world doesn't go on in the background behind you, but you get that message in the movie that while he's Hakuna Matata-ing, his family is, like, suffering.
Yeah, his family and everything.
Mm-hmm.
His whole kingdom. Yeah.
But I do like the idea of, like, at least temporarily, Hakuna Matata, there's nothing you can do about it, like, and well, they say that, like, there's not, the bad things happen and you can't do anything about it.
Well, so, and that's a good, philosophical argument that they have, right?
Right.
In both versions of the movie. He's like, really? Like, can I do anything about it? It's like, nope.
Yeah.
Well, you can. And maybe that's the lesson, right? But I think maybe I got the wrong lesson as a kid and throughout my adult life from the song where I would think back to just the message, right? Of like, no worries. But I always saw it as like a, like an optimistic perspective, mm-hmm. you know, like, okay, things are not good, but I'm not going to worry about it because worrying about it is not actually helpful, which is mm-hmm. part of the message, right? And worrying about something doesn't help. Doing something about it does.
Yeah.
Not worrying about it and not doing about anything about it is not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get very far. So again, conversation starter. I haven't had this kind of conversation about Lion King ever, I don't think.
I don't know if I've had a conversation like this about Lion King ever. You and I have done like a little bit of talking about Lion King, but not like this.
No, like I'm honestly having trouble picking apart Hakuna Matata mm-hmm. for the first time in my life because it was my favorite movie. And like, don't you dare touch Hakuna Matata. But you're absolutely right. Like, there are multiple meanings and multiple perspectives. And right, it's like, that's not good advice at all.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, worrying isn't helpful anyway. Isn't helpful either. So.
But then in the movie, you get, when he says Hakuna Matata to Nala, she's like, what? Our people are like starving.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And you get that like, oh, okay, I need to do something. It's and like, it is
you're good.
It is,
we're not good.
It's a good message that, like, if you can't do anything about it, don't worry. And I think that he is better off having had that, like, laissez-faire lifestyle, like, and then now he comes back to being king. I think he's probably kind of laid back and hopefully a lot like his dad. Because his dad was a good king. He ruled over the people, but he had a good heart and wanted to do the best for his people. And he understood the circle of life.
Which is another complicated thing, which I don't think I'm going to get into. Because
let's not open that can of worms. People can discuss that on the forums or the Discord.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into it. Yeah, man. Okay, so Lion King, still super relevant.
Still the best movie. I know you don't think so, but...
So not that it's not the best. I still think that the original... And to be honest, it's been a few years since I've seen it. Mm-hmm. I was gonna buy it again and watch it before the new version came out. But Disney Plus is right around the corner. I know we keep saying
we're going to be
week.
Able to do so much research for this podcast once that comes out.
Yeah, yeah, we'll talk about that soon.
Because there are some Disney things that I still don't have in my physical collection.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Wow. You can watch Lion Guard.
I know.
so much to, I don't know. I think The Lion King is not, I think it's overall simple. It still has all of these relatable moments and characters. Mm-hmm. And it's still very, the music is still amazing. I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting when I finally settle on which version I like more. It's going to be really, really interesting. Because
you're going to have to watch them like back to back.
And back to
back. And Disney Plus will let you do that.
Yes. Not necessarily sponsored by, well, not sponsored by Disney Plus, just to be clear.
We're just excited about it.
Yes. Yes, we are. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think it has to do with how old we are too. Like how different I view the movies. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But again, lots to talk about. It's a brand new movie. It is another Disney property this year to pass $1 billion. So it's huge. Mm-hmm. Lots of people saw it. I think it's really great that we got to have kind of a deep conversation. I think we could go a lot deeper into some of the other areas. Mm-hmm. But like your story, the way you relate to that movie is so important, I think, for people to understand that it doesn't resonate with me the same way it resonates with you. And that's really what we're here to talk about, which is that these movies can touch us in so many different ways, and they can make us think about things, make us question things, mm-hmm. see ourselves in the story, feel different things. And there are many reasons for that. But I think it's important to have those conversations.
And I think that for anyone listening that is worried about it wrecking a kid who has lost a parent, I want to be clear, as an adult who is someone who thinks about what happened with my mom and The Lion King and stuff like that a lot. Sometimes as an adult, it'll emotionally wreck me, but watching it as a kid, I think it was really helpful to be able to see that experience and then be able to talk to somebody after and be able to go to my dad and get a hug.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
I mean, so many of these stories, what we say is, they're able to, we see ourselves in them, and sometimes it's so hard to explain how we feel, mm-hmm. but we know it when we see it. And it's so easy to go ahead and say, I'm feeling like Simba at that moment, you know? And mm-hmm. if you know the movie, I know what you're saying, you know, if you say that to me.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that does it for this episode of The Happiest Pod on Earth. On the next episode, we will hopefully talk about everything that's... Nah, it doesn't matter. I'll change that. Blah, 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 blah. All right. So that does it for this episode of The Happiest Pod on Earth. Thank you so much for joining us. If you have any comments or questions about the stuff that we've talked about, be sure to check out the Geek Therapy forums at forum.geektherapy.com, where we will post this episode and every episode on the Geek Therapy Network. Go there and say hello. We'd love to talk to you about this. And let us know what other Disney properties we should talk about. We've got a lot of ideas lined up. We're still warming up this show. It's still mm-hmm. not on a steady schedule. We're warming up. We're getting there. But I'm so glad that we have the space to talk. And I hope that if you found us, you will join in the conversation. All right. For more episodes of The Happiest Pod on Earth, check out happy.geektherapy.com.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata. We'll talk soon.